Continuing on with our study on the Holy Spirit, this is sermon number 17, at least, I think it's number 17, on the Holy Spirit. The week before we looked at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This week we're going to begin looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and tonight all we're covering tonight is the definition of a gift. That's basically all we're going to do, look at what a gift is. When we speak of a spiritual gift, what is that? And so we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Our reading will be verse 1 through verse 7. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll read the scriptures and have a look at this passage of scripture. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, my Lord, for your tender mercies. So grateful, Lord, that the old account was settled long ago. So grateful, my Lord, that I can face tomorrow because Jesus reigns. And Lord, although there may be uncertain days ahead of us, we're grateful that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is upon the throne. And Lord, I'm grateful for that assurance. Lord, we just ask you to help us now as we look into your scripture. I pray that you just guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 7. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man, speaking of the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, chapter 12, verse 1, just notice this here. It says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, you know that scriptural statement that's found in Ecclesiastes, there's no new thing under the sun. That's surely illustrated for us in this doctrine here of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The church at Corinth was ignorant about spiritual gifts. They were ignorant. They had a misunderstanding of spiritual gifts. And Paul was seeking to clear up their ignorance on the subject and bring them to a greater and clearer understanding. Not much has changed 2,000 years down the track. There's still an awful lot of ignorance when it comes to spiritual gifts. Now, when we think of that word ignorance, it means to not know. It means to have a limited understanding. It means to lack information. And the church at Corinth, can I say this, is not the example to be followed. In many areas, they're not the example to be followed. And Paul was correcting them. Now, here in the book of 1 Corinthians, let me just give you a very brief overview of the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians, if we were going to give it a title of what the whole book is about, it's about spiritual wisdom resulting in proper Christian conduct. And if you have a look right across through the book, from chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 16, the emphasis of the book is spiritual wisdom resulting in proper Christian conduct. And you can't have proper Christian conduct if you don't have the proper wisdom. If you don't have the proper understanding and the proper knowledge, you can't have the proper conduct. And so the first thing that he's laying down is that spiritual wisdom and that scriptural wisdom and understanding. Chapter 1 through chapter 6, we see a report of division and disorder. And boy, there was some division and disorder in the church, wasn't there? And he addressed the report there from chapter 1 through chapter 6, a report of division and disorder. And he addressed a number of things. But then this passage that we find ourselves here in chapter 12, here it's in the middle of this portion from chapter 7 through to chapter 16, we see a reply to difficulties and doctrinal issues. And we see in chapter 7 he started addressing some things that they had wrote about and asked him. And he addresses those doctrinal issues and he works through some difficulties that they're having. Now here in chapter 12, 13 and chapter 14, Paul takes three chapters, 12, 13 and 14, to clarify this all-important doctrine of spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, we have an explanation of spiritual gifts. That's basically what the whole of chapter 12 is about, is an explanation of spiritual gifts. Chapter 13 is an examination of the more excellent way, being charity. Chapter 14 is an exhortation to follow charity and edify others. And he uses these. See, what we often forget, that chapter 13, that whole chapter on charity, is right all in amongst spiritual gifts. It's jammed in amongst all of that. And there's a reason for that. It's not just, oh, well, let's talk about charity for a chapter and then come back to spiritual gifts in chapter 14. It's there for a reason. Now, when we face spiritual gifts, there are two extremes we face today on this doctrine, isn't there? There's two extremes. There's abuse and excess, and there's neglect and denial. Would you agree with that? Two extremes. Abuse and excess on one hand, and then on the other side, there's neglect and denial of the doctrine. What we want to do is we want to steer a middle course between excess and neglect, where I trust we'll find the biblical truth. And that's often where it is, isn't it? It's in the middle. Whenever you get to an extreme, no matter what the doctrine is, wherever you go to an extreme or an excess, whether it be an extreme in abuse or an extreme in neglect, we often run into trouble. And more often than not, the biblical truth is somewhere in the balance. That's where you'll find it, usually. So tonight, as I said to you before, I just want to focus in on the definition of a gift. And it says here in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Spiritual gifts. What is a spiritual gift? Well, I'm going to do my best to explain it to you tonight, okay? So let's just start off with what a gift is. A present. It's something given or bestowed without merit or payment. That's what a gift is. It's if I give you a gift, give Harrison, let's see, what am I going to give Harrison? Going to give Harrison a water bottle. He's going to be thrilled with this gift. Harrison, here you go, mate. I've presented Harrison with a gift. And that gift is a water bottle. He did not deserve that gift. He's done nothing to earn that water bottle. But then on the other hand, he didn't pay for it either. If he had have earned it, it would have been a wage. If he had have paid for it, he would have bought it. Well, it's not a gift. A gift is something that's bestowed or given without merit or without payment. And so it is with a spiritual gift. You don't earn a spiritual gift. You can't buy a spiritual gift. It's a gift. Right? Let me start with what it's not. Specifically, a spiritual gift. What a spiritual gift, number one, what it is not. It's not natural ability. Okay? It's not natural ability. We might say, now he or she has a gift to minister to young people. But just because someone has the ability to do something doesn't necessarily mean it's their spiritual gift. There's a difference, and we've got to remember that. It's not a talent. So it's not ability, it's not natural ability, and it's not talent. We might say he or she are gifted singers. And just because someone can sing with talent doesn't mean that it is their gift. In fact, I can say it's not. Because nowhere is it listed in the list of spiritual gifts is singing. It's not a spiritual gift. It's a talent. It's an ability.
But it's not a spiritual gift. Now God can use that talent and use that ability to exercise the spiritual gift. Let's just say someone has the spiritual gift of exhortation. They can use their talent and their ability to sing to exercise the gift of exhortation. Does that make sense? But their talent and ability to sing isn't necessarily their spiritual gift. Talents, I've got to be careful, I was thinking about this, it's not talent. Talent's not here tonight, so we're not going to get that confused, are we? It's not talent, it's talents. Talents are given to every person in creation, lost and saved, and are often passed on by or through the parent. They are given by God to an individual to benefit mankind on a human level. Not a spiritual level, a human level. Now, we've never done this before, and this is why this is up, because we're going to do something new tonight. Dan's going to put something up on the screen. I want you to show something. I want you to notice the similarities, but also the contrast between natural talents and spiritual gifts, all right? So I want you to notice this is important, okay, when we're trying to identify what is a spiritual gift. And why this is so important is because you hear in churches and you hear in conversations, oh, I have a gift to, my gift is to cook. My gift is to sing. My gift is to whatever. It's not necessarily, just because you can do something doesn't mean it's a gift, okay? In the spiritual sense. Now here, natural talents, number one, the source is from God through the parents. That's where most talent comes from. It's passed down hereditary or learnt from a parent. It's a natural thing. Natural talents come from God through the parents, but spiritual gifts come from God independent of parents. It's got nothing to do with your parent. It's not hereditary. It's not passed down. You know, you look at some, take a natural talent. Leanne can sing. She's naturally talented to be able to sing. Now, Kaylee and Kenzie can sing, and that they've got that from me. That's been naturally passed down. They've heredited that. Sister Linda, how's that? Heredited? No? She's twitching. They inherited that through their mother because she has that natural talent to sing. They also have that natural talent to sing and that there's genetics involved, but she's also taught them as they've grown up and come up that way. They have that. It's a natural talent. It's not a spiritual gift. Spiritual gift comes from God. It's got nothing to do with your parents. It's got nothing to do with your upbringing. It has nothing to do with your genetic makeup. It's completely irrelevant. It comes solely from God, independent of parents. When was it possessed? Well, let's just say natural talents, to a certain degree, is from birth. But spiritual gifts, they're possessed from conversion, not birth. So they're different. The purpose. What's the purpose of your natural talent? Well, it's to benefit mankind on a human level. What's the purpose of your spiritual gift? It's to benefit mankind on a spiritual level. Your spiritual gift, God didn't give you that spiritual gift to exercise out there in the community to benefit yourself financially or benefit the community. That's not why he gave you that spiritual gift. He gave you a spiritual gift to be exercised in the local church to the spiritual benefit of those in the local church.
Amen.
That's what it's for. But your natural talent, you can use that natural talent to earn money, provide for your family. You take a surgeon. We have a surgeon who lives next door to us. Apparently he's a very good surgeon, works in a private hospital. No doubt he's a talented surgeon. And he uses that to the benefit of the community. But it's a talent. And it's to benefit mankind on a human level. But its spiritual gifts are to benefit mankind on a spiritual level. What's the process? Okay, so I've got the gift, I've got the natural talent. How does this work? Well, both of them must be recognised, both of them must be developed, and both of them must be exercised. That's the only similarity in all of them. whether it be a natural talent or a spiritual gift, you've got to recognize it. You've got to recognize what your natural talent is. I'm trying to think. Who's talented around here? Dan's trying to hide behind the desk back there. Gee, I'm having trouble finding someone talented in this crowd. Dan's hiding behind the computer desk. He's naturally talented when it comes to geeky stuff. IT stuff. He used that term earlier today. I can use that too. But he's talented where it comes to IT stuff, computer stuff, all that sort of thing. Well, he has to recognize that. And as a child's growing up, they have to find what their talent is. What are they naturally talented to do? I'm not naturally talented to sing. I cannot sing. I shouldn't sing. I do sing because I want to sing, but I'm not talented to sing. That's not my natural ability. So I need to recognize what mine is. And then I need to exercise it. I need to develop it. I need to grow it. But so it is with my spiritual gift. You see, when the Lord saves you, you know what you're supposed to do? Now, the moment the Lord saves us, and we've crossed this before as we've done this study on the Holy Spirit and all that he does for us in the sealing and the earnest and all those things he does for us in the moment that we're converted. He does so much for us that we're completely unaware of, right? But one thing that he does for us is he gives us a spiritual gift. Now, I've got to tell you, I've got to confess, maybe you're different, but I've got to confess, I wasn't aware of that when the Lord saved me. All I knew was that I was lost, headed to hell, I need the Saviour, and that Jesus saved me. And that's all I knew. But that moment that he saved me, he also administered to me, he gave me a spiritual gift. And it's my responsibility, as I grow as a Christian, to recognise what my spiritual gift is. And if you've been saved, you've been given at least one spiritual gift. Maybe two, maybe three, I don't know. But you've got to recognise what it is. Have you ever thought about what your spiritual gift is? Have you ever stopped and considered and examined, like, and made it a matter of prayer? What is it that God has gifted me with to develop and exercise in the local church? That's your responsibility. To recognize it, develop it, and exercise it. What's the function? Number five, it's to be dedicated by believers to God for his use and glory. That's talent. You can take your natural talent and your natural ability and you can dedicate it to God. And you can use it for his glory and for his use. Let's just take singing. Singing, but teaching is another one. Now, teaching goes both ways because teaching is a spiritual gift. But teaching is also a natural ability. There's plenty of lost teachers out there in the world that have an incredible talent to be able to take someone from a place of ignorance to a place of understanding without anything to do with anything spiritual because they're lost as lost. But they still have the natural ability and the talent to be able to teach information. And they can take that natural ability to teach or that natural ability to sing, and they can take those natural abilities and those natural talents, dedicate them to the Lord for God to take them and use them to his honour and to his glory. But a spiritual gift, it doesn't have to be dedicated to God, it already is. But it is to be used to God's glory. And that's the whole reason he gave you a spiritual gift, is not to use to your glory. We sang that in that, was I think it was the last hymn we sang. What's that hymn? No, it wasn't the last one, it was the second last one. No, third last one. How deep the Father's love. And he said, and the verse there was, I will not boast in gifts. Your gift wasn't given to you to boast in. Your gift was given to you to use, to recognize, develop and exercise to God's glory and the furtherance of his church. That's what it's for. Folks, I really want you to get a hold of this. And We're going to go a little bit further, but not too much further tonight. I want you to get a hold of identifying what a spiritual gift is. It's not necessarily a natural ability and talent. It's just not. They may kind of blend together, but not necessarily. Someone can have the natural ability to teach, but that doesn't mean that their spiritual gift is teaching. Perhaps someone out in society is a school teacher and they have a natural ability to teach. But in the local church, perhaps their gift is a gift of helps. And they don't teach Sunday school, they don't preach, they don't do anything that way, they just minister in the background. Just helping, serving. Because what works in the local church and what works out in society are two different things. And so we need to be careful when it comes to the operation of the local church that we don't get those two things mixed up. You've got to identify what your spiritual gift is and then exercise that in the local church. Can we turn this off now so I don't get blinded? So what it is not. Folks, I want you to understand that the spiritual gift is not natural ability and it's not talent. It's something that's God-given. Let's focus on what it is. So what it's not natural ability, not talent, what is it? Well, I'm going to say to you, it's kind of hard to define. But I'm going to do my best. The spiritual gift, it is a divine endowment of a special capacity or enablement for service upon a member of the body of Christ. It's a capacity. It's an ability to function effectively and significantly in a particular service as a member of the local body of Christ in his local church. God, and I don't understand the spiritual aspect of it all, I really don't, but all I know is when God saves you, he bestows upon you a special endowment, a special capacity, a special ability to perform a particular service in the local church. And there's a long list. There's at least 18 spiritual gifts in Scripture. And there's debate over a number of different things. I'll give you a few, just for the sake of illustration. The gift of helps, I've already mentioned that. That's service. The gift of mercy. Some people, when God saved them, God gave that individual the ability, a special ability, to show people unmerited favour. I can say to you, in full confidence, I do not have that gift. I don't have it. Does that mean I don't have to show mercy? No. But if you've got the gift of mercy, you'll be able to show mercy a whole lot better than I can. I need to still show mercy, but don't judge me because I can't do it as good as you. I haven't got the gift that you've got. Right? And that's what we need to recognize in the local church. Just because you have the gift of evangelism doesn't mean everybody has the same ability to share the gospel as you do. They just won't. They'll fumble around, they'll make a mess of it, they just won't be as effective. Does that mean only those with the gift of evangelism need to share the gospel? No, we all need to share the gospel. But some will do it better than others because they have the gift of evangelism. So God gives us a special capacity to fulfill a service in the local church. And I emphasize in the local church. That's where it's for. That's how God designed it. He didn't give you a spiritual gift to use. And that's illustrated. You just keep reading chapter 12. It's as plain as the nose on your face. It's about a local body. The illustration there is about eyes and ears and limbs. It's a body. It's a local body. It's a body confined to one place. It's not speaking of a universal church. It's speaking of a local church. So what it is not, it's not natural ability, it's not talent. What it is, Well, it's just a capacity and an enablement for service in the local church. What does it embody? What comes with this gift? Four things that is embodied with the gift. So let's just take the gift of, we'll use a few different illustrations. Four things that the gift embodies. Four things that come along with the spiritual gift. Number one is ability. Now I said ability, natural ability, doesn't necessarily mean it's your spiritual gift. But if God gives you a spiritual gift, when he does, he gives you the ability to fulfill the spiritual gift. And they may blend together. Let's just use the gift of teaching. Teaching is a spiritual gift. Let's just say you have a natural ability to teach. And then God also gives you the spiritual gift of teaching. Those two things blend together. And so your natural ability comes together with your spiritual gift, and you've got a real ability to be able to fulfill that spiritual gift. But let's just say you've got a natural ability to teach, but then God gives you that spiritual gift of helps. And in the local church, you don't teach Sunday school, but I'm a principal of the school. I've taught great classes and I'm a wonderful teacher. Well, that's wonderful. But if you don't have the spiritual gift of teaching, you don't need to be teaching. Because just because you're a teacher out there in the world doesn't mean that you can teach something spiritually. Because unless there has the power of God resting upon it, and the spirit and power of the Holy Ghost resting on you, and exercising and working through that spiritual gift, you'll impart some facts to that class, but the actual spiritual growth is going to be limited because you don't have the spiritual gift of teaching. But I want to say to you, embodied in the gift is the ability. Every spiritual gift is accompanied with the ability to perform it. My illustration I have here is Brother Randy Bain. He has the ability to evangelize the lost. And if you've ever been out street witnessing with him, I've told you this before, we were up there in Ravenshoe and different places. I'd go with him a number of times over the years, different places, and we go out handing out gospel tracts, talking to people. People are throwing tracts at me, people are swearing at me, and people won't listen to me, and he's there, and he's just got a crowd around him, and he's just talking to them, and he shared the gospel with 25 people just as plain as day, and he comes away rejoicing, I come away discouraged. Why does he have the ability to evangelize the lost? Because he's got the gift of evangelism. That doesn't mean those of us that don't have the gift of evangelism, that doesn't mean that, I don't have to evangelize, I don't have to share the gospel. No, not at all. But I'm not going to be as effective as Randy Bain. And so I need to be careful. And it really helped me when I get a hold of this, because it was really discouraging spending time with him. Like, what in the world is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I need to understand that I don't have that spiritual gift. And so I don't need to be cast down just because I can't do it as good as he can. And we need to remember that in the local body. Okay? Just because you can do something very well doesn't mean everybody else, don't hold everybody else to that same standard. You just exercise your gift, don't boast in it, don't glory in it, but just do it to the glory of God to the best of your ability and leave everybody else alone. And let them exercise their spiritual gift to the best of their ability. And don't get jealous of them because they can do such and such better than you. Just be content with the spiritual gift you have and fulfill it to the best of your ability. Not only is ability embodied with the spiritual gift, but qualification. The spiritual gift qualifies the Christian who possesses the gift to fulfill that ministry. And let's just take that gift of teaching. You have a natural ability to teach. That doesn't mean you're qualified to teach in church. Unless you have the spiritual gift of teaching, then you're qualified to teach spiritual things. A man is not qualified to preach the gospel because he finished Bible college or has the gift of the gab or is a great orator. He is qualified only if he has the spiritual gift to do so. And the same can be said for any other ministry in the local church. What qualifies you for a certain ministry is your spiritual gift. That's what qualifies you. Let's speak of Andrew. What a great brother. Haven't we missed him the last couple of weeks? Man, we've been working ourselves to death trying to keep up with everything he does. No one knows what he does. He's just so quietly in the background doing so much. What's he got? I'd say he's got the gift of service, the gift of helps. Oh, I'd think so. And he just quietly goes about his business, doing his thing. What qualifies him for that? His spiritual gift. What qualifies you to do what you need to do in the local church? It's your spiritual gift. You need to identify what it is. And you need to recognize it, you need to develop it, and then you need to exercise it in the local body. So there's ability embodied in the gift, qualification is embodied, but thirdly, and I love this, is strength. Given along with the spiritual gift is also the strength to perform the duty of it. And I want to take the gift of mercy here because I don't have the strength for that nonsense. I mean that spiritual gift. Those with the gift of mercy will have a divine supply of grace and strength to minister to those in need of unmerited favour. And those of us that don't have that gift look on in wonder. Like, how in the world? Time out. We're done. Slap, 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 slap. Come on. Does that make sense to you? But if God's given you that gift of mercy, he'll also give you the strength to show that mercy and to fulfill that ministry. No matter what the spiritual gift is. As I've been studying through this, praying through this, and you know, I've thought that as I've been trying over the years, trying to recognise my spiritual gift, I've sort of here, there, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's this. I think it's probably pastor, teacher, and I'm sure glad that God gives me the strength to be a pastor. I wouldn't choose it for $1 million. That's nothing against you. Not at all. Really, it's not. It's not. Seriously. It wouldn't matter who it was. I wouldn't choose to be a pastor for all the money in the world. I don't have the strength for it. I really don't. But I believe God, because he's given me that gift, he's also along with that gift, given me the strength to perform it. And whatever your gift is, he will give you the strength to perform your gift, that you can fulfill it to the fullest, to his glory. He'll give you the strength. But then a sobering thing embodied with the spiritual gift, ability, qualification, strength, lastly we have responsibility. And wherever there's a privilege, there's great responsibility. And isn't it a privilege that the Holy Ghost of God, and if you have a look in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll find the Trinity emphasized in, you've got Jesus in verse 3, you've got the Holy Spirit in verse 4, and you've got God in verse 6. So you've got the Trinity there. So everyone, the Trinity as a whole is wrapped up in the administration of the gifts. But isn't it wonderful that God would entrust you with a spiritual ability? He's given you something. He's given you the ability, he's given you the strength, and he's qualified you to fulfill a role in the local church. What a privilege. What a privilege. But along with that privilege comes great responsibility. It has to do with our stewardship as a Christian. We'll stand on the day of reckoning at the judgment seat of Christ and be held responsible for what we've done with our time, our money, our bodies, our opportunities. However, we'll also be held responsible for how well we have stirred up the gift of God and how effectively we've used it in our local church to God's glory. Don't you think if God gives you a spiritual gift, he's going to hold you accountable for it?
Absolutely.
He didn't give it to you just to hold to yourself. He didn't give it to you just to neglect. He didn't give it to you just to say, I couldn't be bothered. He gave you a spiritual gift. And you're going to be held accountable as a steward as to what you do with that spiritual gift. So if I was you, I'd get busy recognizing what my spiritual gift is. And then I'd get busy developing my spiritual gift. And then I'd get busy exercising my spiritual gift. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe that you'll be held responsible for how well you have fulfilled that ministry in the local church.
Amen.
And you know, that's the only way that a local church works together properly, is when we all recognize our spiritual gift, and that we all develop we all recognize our spiritual gift, we all develop our spiritual gift, and then we all exercise our spiritual gift. We can operate in unity as a body. And we'll look at that further as we get down here into chapter 12 and the illustration that's drawn out there. Not everyone can be the right foot. Okay, so forget about coveting to be the right foot. Just be happy being the little finger on the left hand. It doesn't do much. But it's needful. Not everyone can be the head. Not everyone can be the pastor. Not everyone can be the Sunday school teacher. Not everyone can... You've just got to find your place and faithfully fulfill it. Go with me. Let's finish over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So tonight we're just trying to find the definition of a spiritual gift. Let's just read this whole chapter and then I'll make a little statement at the end and then we'll finish. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now remember here, this is Paul giving some instruction to a young preacher. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Kids, that's why we thank the Lord and pray before we eat. That's that verse right there. You ever wondered why you pray before you eat? There it is. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So he's telling him, he said here in verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. So he said, remind the brethren, and if you do that, you'll be a good minister. Verse 7, but, while you're doing that, refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather under godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable under all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. And then notice verse 12. There's some more instruction for the young man. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Young people, you ought to be setting the example. Paul told Timothy, set the example. Don't let anyone despise your youth. In fact, just set an example. Be a good example. It's not up to the grey heads to set the example always. You young people can set the example to follow. That'd be a good thing. Don't see that too often, but we should. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Notice verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So, some instruction. Verse 12, let no man despise thee. Verse 13, till I come give attendance. Verse 14, neglect not the gift. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, as your pastor in the church, don't neglect the gift that is in thee. And brethren, can I encourage you, don't neglect the gift that is in thee. If you're saved, you have at least one spiritual gift. Some people say you only get one spiritual gift. I don't know if I agree with that. I think you probably get more. I think some people may only get one. Some people, there's some preachers, I think Brother Bearden, I think he's probably got about 15. I don't know. But some people, they seem incredible, all what they can do and how the Lord uses them. But can I encourage you to identify your spiritual gift as we work through this and as we go through this study? Be asking and praying that God would just settle into your heart the spiritual gift that he's given you, or the spiritual gifts. And then ask him how to develop it. I'm your pastor. Talk to me. Talk to me about your spiritual gift. Let's talk about that and how you can develop that spiritual gift. Give you opportunities. There's bins to be emptied. Amen. Andrew's not here. But that's the point of it, right? Identifying what it is and then not neglecting it in your local church. Let's close in a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the word. Lord, I do confess, Father, that Lord, when it comes to this subject and many subjects in the Bible, Lord, we do confess there's an awful lot of ignorance there. And Lord, just ask that you'd help us. God, fill us with the Spirit of God. Give us a deeper understanding. And help us, Lord, as a local body. Help us, Father, to operate in unity when it comes to our spiritual gifts. Lord, I pray for the saints here tonight. Pray that you'd help them. Help them, Lord, identify their spiritual gift. And then, Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom together how to develop that spiritual gift to your honour and to your glory and to the furtherance of the local church and your kingdom. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon us throughout the week. Please go with us. Pray you be with Chris and Anne. Lord, please strengthen them. Watch over them, Lord, during these last couple of weeks of pregnancy. And Lord, pray particularly for Anne and the baby. Please minister grace there. Be with Hannah. Lord, as she goes for this surgery later in the week, pray you'd help her. Minister grace there. Sister Irene, pray you'd help her, Lord. The needs that she has with her hip, I pray you'd just guide and direct there, Lord, and help. And then, Lord, we pray you'd be with Andrew. And, Lord, looking forward to him coming back. Pray you'd bless him. And, Father, we just thank you for your kindness and grace. We ask your blessing as we dismiss. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.